14. And as you could tell, I like to say there was no lions there. Praise the Lord. I know the stigma at times is Africa, but South Africa is very, very modern. And I consider myself African-American now. Praise the Lord. Because I love what God's doing there. But Acts chapter 14, verses 19, the Bible says this. It says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples gathered around him, he got up and went back into that city. Before you sit here, look at your neighbor in the eye. Come on, give him like a mean, tough look. Give him, go ahead. The toughest look you could give them. Come on. You could even call it, you know, a mean look. Look him in the eye. Don't let them turn their head. Keep your eyes on them. Tell them this. Tell them, I'm called to take a city. Come on, look at him. Tell him, I'm called to take a city. You may be seated. This morning, I want to talk about the topic that all of us today in the building are called to take a city. Each and every one of us. Many of us here today, God has a calling on our lives, yes, to go and take a city or to go and be part of a team or to be a missionary or to be a pastor, to be an evangelist. Is there anybody like that? Wave at the Lord. Just let him take your fingerprints for a second. Some of you are called to pack your bags and go somewhere. But not everyone is. Regardless of if you're called to go or you're called to stay, all of us are called to take a city. The Bible says that this scripture here, Paul is speaking, of course, or the book of Acts is talking about Paul and his journey and his missionary journeys. Right now, he's in the city of Lystra, modern-day Turkey, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul had an understanding who he was. In fact, if you were to read Acts chapter 20, verses 24, you would find Paul's resume or Paul's purpose for living. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me unless I complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given me. And he answers, his task is to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul understood he had a purpose in his life. Paul understood that he had a mission in his life, and his mission was God's mission, which was to reach the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, since the beginning of time, God's original plan was to have relationship with his creation. That was God. That was the reason God made us. Because he wanted to have fellowship and he wanted to have a relationship with us. And he wanted to have, you know, some type of, a friendship with us. That's what God wanted from the very beginning of making man, making Adam and making Eve. And we know that through time and through situations that we know that sin, of course, separated us from God. And not to get into a whole teaching, a whole thing about that, but we know that it separated us from God. And from that point on, God was wanting back his relationship back with his creation. That was the whole purpose. So then, of course, we know that he came down in the form of a man, and he became man, he became flesh, and he gave his life, amen, for us so that we could be forgiven of that sin, so we could come back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there anybody happy that Jesus Christ died for your sins here this morning? Come on, give the Lord a hand if you're blessed and grateful when Jesus went to that cross. So if that's God's original plan and that's what God is trying his best, is urging the church to be able to be his arms and to be his extension and to be his mouthpiece, then I believe this, that no matter what it is, if you're called to go and take a city one day, or you're called to go and take or be here and build the city right here in Manchester, all of us are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ask me how. However God tells you. Some of us, again, are called to be pastors and evangelists, but some of us are called to raise our kids, come on, in the house of God. So one day, I mean, they may go and take a city one day or take a country. How many know that is possible? Some of us, God has called us to be able to do that business that God given us, the creativity or the insight to be able to do that business. And God has created you to have that purpose. Why? Because that in that purpose, still the gospel could be preached through different avenues. How many want God to bless your business? How many want God to bless your careers? Bless your households? Bless your marriage? See, if God, all those are tools that God wants to be able to use in his original plan and bring him back to salvation of people. That's what God's plan is. He wants to be able to have back relationship. Look what God is doing here in Manchester. God is doing a great thing here in Manchester. But how many know there are still treasures out of darkness? There are still hidden riches that we have not found in this city that we need to reach. God still wants to be able to reconcile back a city to him, and God wants to use you to do it. I like how somebody said it like this, said the best promotion of God and the best promotion of your church, it's not an event, it's not even a flyer, the best promotion is you. You're the best one to be able to take your city, you're the best one to be able to promote even for your church and bring people to the house of God, because you're the one that God wants to use. How many want to see even greater things take place within your church? I'll say it again. How many want to see even greater things take place in your church? Amen. How many want to see even a greater revival and a greater harvest and greater things take place? Come on. Are you excited this morning, church, about what God is about to do in your church? And God wants to use you to be able to do it. God wants to use your life. He wants to be able to see God begin to use your life to be able to do it. And you got to understand is that this is when you begin to say yes to God and watch God begin to use your life. God has promised us Victory Outreach, the treasures of darkness. That's why we could go to any city in the world. That's why we could come to South Africa. It's not just an American thing. It's not just a South African thing. It's not just a European thing. It is a God thing. Amen. It is this world that Jesus so loved that he gave his life so that we could be able to do what God's called us to do and reach more people. See, God is sovereign. God has a purpose. He has a divine purpose in our lives. And we know that as we begin to realize that there's a reason and a divine appointment why you're here this morning. I'm not just talking about here in the service, but here even in the city of Manchester. How many were born in Manchester? Come on. Or from Manchester, born and raised, right? You could have been born in China. You know that, right? But God didn't see it fit for you to be born in China. God saw you fit to be born here. How many moved to Manchester? Come on. Or maybe from other places, right? You came here. See, it wasn't because you had a career opportunity. Yes, it may have been the reason, or maybe you had a house, or maybe you had different family here, so you moved here. Those are all things that God used for a specific reason. Why? Because look at the revival that's taking place in your church. So God brought you all together because he wants to bring a great harvest in to your church. Amen. That's why we want to build the church. That's why we want to see God do great things, because we want to make room for those that still don't know Jesus. How many know that means your daughter? That means your son. Come on. I said, how many know that means your mom? That means your dad. That means people in your neighborhood. That means people in your schools. That means people around your areas that God wants to use you to be able to reach. God has a specific plan. See, Jesus understood that. Jesus, when he walked this earth, he said this. He said, my food is to do the will of my Father. How many like to eat here this morning? Come on. How many like to eat? Come on, look at your neighbor. Don't look at him funny, though. We like to eat, right? Eat something is, if you don't eat, after a while, you'll die. Am I correct? Right? So what Jesus was saying, the reason I live, the reason I get up in the morning, come on, the reason I go to work, the reason I do the ministry, the reason I'm a pastor, the reason I do, because I want to do the will of my Father. He even said as a young boy when he was 12 years old, just a young kid, said, you know, when he told his mother, he said, do you not know that I have to be about my Father's business? I want to be able to accomplish the task and accomplish the mission that God has for my life. I don't know about you this morning, but when I get to heaven, I want to hear those great words. I want to hear those words. Well done, my good and my faithful servant. Enter in until your rest. I want to get to heaven and say, God, you know, yeah, maybe I wasn't perfect. Of course I wasn't, but God, I went after your perfect will for my life. Paul, even later on, he would call himself a bondservant. He would say, I'm a bondservant. In other words, he would have no rights. And he would say, God, not my will, but let your will be done. Whatever it is you want to do within my life. He would say things like, I'm indebted to Christ. He would say things like, I'm a drink offering. Then I pour it all out to God and say, God, if you can use my life, here it is. I may not be much. I may not know much, God, but here it is. If you can use me, then use my life to do something great. See, God's will, the Bible says, is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. I mean, no, you can't add to perfection. It's absolutely perfect. I like to use this analogy of the, how many used to watch WWF and remember the guy, Mr. Perfect? Remember that guy? He would throw, American football, and he would throw real far, but then all of a sudden he would run real fast and catch it, and, you know, he would do the basketball and shoot it. He would have different moves, and they were perfect. He would act perfect, all these different things. And see, that's a great understanding of who somebody who thought he was perfect. And see, just like that, God's will is perfect. You can't add to it. It's exactly what you were made for. And if you go after that, then you'll understand that you'll begin to see how God began to open up the doors within your life. In other words, just like a chair was created to be a chair, that's all it was created for. And if it tries to do something else, it's not going to do very well if you try to swim with it. Come on. The chair is not going to do very well if you try to fly with it. But if you sit on that chair, it does what it's created to do. And when you begin to operate in what God wants you to do, you'll realize that the success and the plan will begin to fall in place as you let God do what he wants to do within your heart. Here in Paul and Barnabas, of course, they were men of God. They were preaching the gospel. And the Bible says they were preaching in a pure Jewish synagogue. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says as they came across a crowd or a group of people, they began to perform a miracle for a man that was lame. And at that point, the crowd began to worship them or begin to think that they were gods. So here we pick up the story now as some of the crowd begins to come against them and they begin to stone them and they begin to not only just almost kill them, but drag them outside the city. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody were to literally almost stone me to death and pick me up and throw me outside the city, I might get the idea that they don't want me there. I just might get that idea. But see, Paul, the Bible says, got up. Come on, I said, even though that things weren't exactly the way you want them to, he got up. He didn't stay down. He didn't just let the enemy push him around. Come on, now this fight that we're in, Victory Outreach, this fight that we're in, man or woman of God, this is a fight, the Bible says, that is good. In other words, it's not a, Tyson knockout. Come on. It's what you call the old type of fights, the thrill in the Manilas. Come on. The rumble in the jungles. Those type of fights that sometimes you're going to get hit sometimes. Come on. How many been hit before by the devil? Come on now. How many got some lumps on your head from the devil once in a while? Come on. We get it. It happens. We got some spiritual scars and we got some things that the enemy tried. But I got good news for you this morning. You're still here because you've learned how to fight. You've learned how to fight that good fight. You learn that even though maybe sometimes you can't swing, at least you keep your hands up. That's what a good boxer does. Says, you know what? I'm going to keep my hands up. I don't care what the enemy throws at me. I like how somebody said it. We can put you in the ring, but you still got to swing. Come on now. Come on. God wants to put that fight back in you this morning. The enemy has been trying to discourage you. You've been trying to do God's will. You've been trying to go after what God has for you. You've been trying to raise your family. You've been coming to church. You've been coming to the prayer meetings. You've been coming to the revivals. You've been coming to all these different things. And you're saying, man, I'm still fighting. Listen, I want you to know that just like Paul did, even though he got beat up, there came a point in his life where he said, I'm not staying down no more. I am getting up out of my situation. And I'm going back into that city that God promised me, because as God promised me that city of Lystra, I'm going to take that city of Lystra. I don't care what the enemy throws at me. I'm going to be and do what God wants me to do and what God wants me to be. Sometimes the enemy hits below the belt. Most of the time he does. This was something, he was just doing the work of God and he found himself getting beat up for it. This wasn't an acronym. This wasn't a symbolic thing. He was literally getting beat up for Jesus. And see, all he was trying to do, he was trying to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all he was trying to do. He was trying to preach the gospel. And just like our ministry here in Victory Outreach, we are about preaching the gospel. That's why we're able to take cities. That's why we're able to take areas. That's why we're able to do what God's called us to do, because it's not so much the ministry, it is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's able to change anything. There is still power in the gospel, in the message of Jesus Christ. One day he's going to come back. He is going to come back one day. Believe me, he's going to come back for his church. He's going to come back for his bride. He's going to come back with a bride that is without blemish or without spots. He's going to look for the bride that's working hard. Come on now, that says, you know what, man? I don't want to go to heaven alone, but I want to take my family with me. How many want to take your family with you? How many want to take your friends with you? Then you got to learn that you're going to get hit sometimes. See, Paul understood if he was going to take the city, if he was going to take this city of Lystra, that it was going to come with a little price tag or a big price tag, that it was going to cost him something, that it wasn't going to be easy. He understood that the enemy himself wasn't just going to give him the city. And this morning, we got to understand the enemy is just not going to let us take our families for God or do what God's called us to do or even within areas of business or areas within our lives, our careers, or different things. See, God has a plan. And even in that, you got to know how to fight with Jesus on your side. It's going to happen. Again, God wants to do it. He wants to build this church even to a higher level. He wants to take it from addition to multiplication. But it's going to take people that know how to fight and persevere even through hard times. This was what he was trying to teach Paul, I believe. He was saying, Paul, I know you may feel beaten up, or you may feel like nobody knows what you're doing, or you feel like, you know, dead, or what the Bible says, almost dead. But God was still calling him to get up and be determined. Someone say determined. Look at your neighbor and say, are you determined? Determination. Determination is the act of coming to a decision. In other words, you made up your mind, this is it. I'm going to do and go after God's will for my life. I like how somebody said it. It says, what you lack in talent and what you lack in ability, you can make up in determination. What you lack in talent, what you lack in ability, you can make up in determination. I want to read this story to you. Now it's a American a sport, but it works in South Africa, so I think it'll work here too. Praise the Lord. But it goes something like this. It says this: the greatest little boy in a baseball hat. He stands in the field with his ball in his bat, and he says, "I am the greatest player of them all." So he puts up the ball on his shoulders and he tosses up the ball. The ball goes up, the ball comes down, he swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you could hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground. Now the little boy doesn't say a word. He picks up his ball and says, I am the greatest there has ever been. And he grits his teeth and he tries again. The ball goes up, the ball comes down, he swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you could hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground. Well, he makes no excuses, he shows no fear, he closes his eyes, and he listens to the cheers. Now the little boy, he adjusts his hat, he picks up his ball, and he stares at the bat, and he says, I am the greatest, and the game is on the line. So he gives his all one last time. The ball goes up, the moon's so bright, he swings his bat with all of his might, and the world, as still as it can be, the baseball falls, and that's strike three. Now his mom calls. Little boy starts running home with his bat and his ball, and he says, I am the greatest. That is, in fact, that I didn't even know that I could pitch like that. See, it's a matter of perspective. Someone that's determined, even when they make mistakes, won't quit. Even when they fail, they won't quit. Now is not the time to quit here, Victory Outreach, or God wants to do something new and something great in your church and in your life and in your family. Just like here, they were preaching to a pure Jewish community. This was Lystra, modern day Turkey. So for them to go into this city was like saying, I like to get beat up. Come on. They were a pure Jewish community. In other words, they were totally against the message of Jesus. So it wasn't really good circumstances. It wasn't something that was easy or something that was going to be something that was fun necessarily, but he understood that he had to do what God called him to do, even if it meant he had a price to pay for it. See, because Paul was burdened with the burden to reach his city, to reach his place for the Lord. And see, that's what it's going to take here, even in our churches. It's going to take a burden. See, the burden can't rest just on the pastors and the leadership. The burden has to rest on all of us within our area of what God has called us to do. He was burdened to be able to go into the city. He was burdened to see the need. You know, that's what I, when I'm in South Africa, I tell our people, I tell my church, I say, you know what brought us to South Africa? What, why we're here? It's not because of anything else, but because somebody was praying with a burden in their heart. A mom was praying, a dad was praying, somebody was praying, and God heard the prayer. So God had to put a burden on the heart of some pastors, like Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie and other pastors that went out to South Africa. And we find ourselves there. Why? Because someone have a burden. So my question to you this morning, church, what would have happened if God were to give you that burden to pray and believe God for a revival to take place right here in Manchester, right here in England, right here in your own backyard? It could happen if you get that burden within your heart. I believe this. God wants to do it. See, Paul was determined. In other words, Paul didn't quit. He got up. He didn't throw in the towel, because, you know, the God that I serve, I've been serving the Lord a little while. When I've tried to throw in the towel, how many know you try to throw in the towel? Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. Come on. The God that I serve and the God that you serve, when we try to throw in the towel, he doesn't just throw it back at us. He throws it back in our face. And he says, you know what? No, you're not going to quit. I got a calling on your life. I want to use your life. I want to do something great within your life. And right now, it may not feel good. You may be getting hit, but you're learning as you go. You're learning how to bob. You're learning how to weave. You're learning how to fight back. You're learning that your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. You're able to do it. There's nothing that God can't do. In fact, God is never worried. God is never stressed. God doesn't pace up and down in heaven and wonder what to do with our lives. We just trust him. He'll get us through. He will get us through. Quitting can't be an option. For some of us, we may be just in the phase that God, where backsliding can't be an option. Come on. Leaving the Lord can't be an option. Or even secondly, our callings can't be an option. We can't give up the calling that God has given us upon our lives. I believe this, because if the devil can't get you to backslide, he'll get you to focus on all the wrong things. Come on. Second best thing is a frustrated Christian. Okay, you can serve the Lord, but I'm going to get you frustrated. Huh? On a multiple choice test, we may have options in what we do, but when it's serving the Lord, we got to take backsliding out of the option. We got to take, you know, our callings as a not an option. This is, say, God, here it is. God, I want everything that you want for my life. Come on. Sitting in the church, you know, upset, praise the Lord, that's an option. Amen. Going through it, feeling like, man, you want to quit, but sticking it out, that's an option. That's okay. Getting involved, getting under, whatever you got to do, but quitting can't be an option. See, in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this need that was arising, Paul was there, and he got beat up for it, but the Bible says that he began to go back into that city. Why? Because Paul wasn't going to let his current circumstances get in the way of God's ultimate will for his life. He wasn't going to let that stop him. He was going to do what God called him to do, because I believe Paul understood that God's will won't always make sense. Come on. Can I help you a little bit this morning? God's will most of the time won't make sense. God will tell you to do things that don't make sense. But when you trust him, when he tells you himself and you step into that place and you realize that, yeah, it's going to be a fight. You realize that sometimes, yeah, it's going to be, at times, you're going to feel weak. You're going to feel lonely. You're going to feel like Jesus said that when he told his disciples that when you're walking this path, it's going to be narrow at times. In fact, most of the time, if not all the time, it's going to be very narrow. And everyone else is going to seem like, you know, that's the better idea and that's the best thing to do. But what I want to challenge you to do, church, is to stick it out no matter what you go through. Learn how to stand on God's word. Learn how to stand in the presence of God and let God begin to turn your situation around. That's what happened to him. See, he wasn't going to let the crowd sway his decision. Come on. You know, look at your neighbor and tell him this. Say, I'm sorry. Come on, tell him, I'm sorry. Say it, do it like this. I'm sorry. But not everyone's going to like you. I know. It's hard to believe. Just a few minutes ago, the people were worshiping and telling them they were gods. Now the same people are stoning them almost to death. Oh, come on. Never been there before. Come on. But that didn't stop him. The crowd didn't stop him. What, you know, the situation didn't stop him. He was on a mission. He was like the Bible says, like a horse on a shutter. You know, he had his mission and he knew what God called him to do. And even after he went through his thing, he encouraged the brothers, he encouraged the disciples to remain faithful in the faith, remain faithful in the purposes of God. After they stoned him, after they dragged him outside the city, he wasn't going to let that stop him from doing what God called him to do. He understood that as he did it, God was going to be with him every step of the way. God was going to have his way within his life, and he was going to do it. I like how Job said it in verse chapter 36, verse 2. We know Job went through a lot of trials. He said, bear with me a little longer, and I will show you that there is more to be said on God's behalf. If you were just to tarry a little bit longer, you would understand that God has your number. God has your number. I remember when I was in high school, and I remember I was serving the Lord already. And I was playing sports, and I remember that I would look at the stands, and I would look at the families that would come, and I noticed something, that I didn't have no family coming to my games. And it didn't bother me in the beginning, but all of a sudden it started to bother me, and I realized something. I says, man, I got a little problem here. Come on. And I come to God in prayer, and I tell God, you know what, man, God, you know, this is how I feel. And I told him how I feel. You know what the Lord told me? He told me what I just said right now. He said, Louie, he says, I got your number. I got your number. So, how many know sometimes it doesn't always make sense right away what God's trying to tell you? Well, I begin to think about that. Now, how many go to your kids' games? You go to their games, you go to their, well, hopefully you go, praise the Lord, amen. Okay, you should go to their games. But when you go to your kids' games, don't you know what number they are? You know exactly where they're at. And even if they make they do something bad or they fumble or they do bad things, how many know you still go to them and say, man, you played a great game, man. Let me take you to McDonald's. Come on now, right? And they didn't even play. Come on, somebody. But it's because it's your kid. And you're proud. And God was telling me the same thing. And listen, you might feel like things aren't going the way you want them to go. You may feel like the enemy's coming in hard at you. You're trying your best to do God's will. But what I dare you to do today is get your determination back and say, you know what, man? God himself is looking down at you and saying, I got your number. I know right now you're suffering for my cause. I know right now you may be going through persecution because you're doing your best to serve me. But listen, do not worry. I'm going to work it all out. I'm going to come through. I'm not a man that I will lie. When a man sows, he will reap. You got to be confident, as Paul says, that he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He won't leave you, he won't forsake you. He knows what he's doing. He's got your back. He has your number. He knows where you're at. And through that situation, even though there was a lot of chaos, even though there was a lot of confusion, even though there was a lot of hard negative things that were taking place in that situation, miracles still happened. This man got healed. Even though there was a chaos, even though there was madness, there was healing taking place right there. I believe this. I believe that as we stick it out and we don't give up, that there's going to be miracles taking place. There's going to be signs and wonders. There's going to be things that are going to happen in our city. There's going to be a harvest coming in. One day you're going to sit next to your son. One day you're going to sit next to your daughter. One day you're going to sit next to your dad or your mom. One day you're going to worship with your family all together in one service. Why? Because that's how God is. He's faithful to your life. But if you quit now, you may never see it. You may never experience it. But let me tell you, God is able to do it. I believe it. The Bible says, because of the determination, he went back into that city. In verses 21, the Bible says that they won a large number of disciples. They won a large number of disciples. Piano could come on up. They won a large number of, see, because they didn't quit. God gave them what they needed to take the city or to do God's will for their lives. That's what God enabled them now to do it. They want not only just a little bit of people, but they want a large number of disciples. A large number. Why would Paul and Barnabas go into a city and just do what they're doing, go through all the trials of it, go through all the hard times of it, just because and just leave? They didn't do that. When they would go into a city, they had a mind, a strategy, God's strategy. And you know what? It's not just about even Lystra, but it's about the surrounding areas. That in order for that to take place, I need disciples. What is it going to take this city or to take this country, take this world for Christ? It's going to take true disciples of Christ. True disciples of Jesus Christ. Why did they win that area of Lystra? Because God was going to build something there that was going to spread out all over the areas. I believe this, that God wants to build a base here in Manchester. I'm probably not the first one to say it. I won't be the last. But I believe God wants to build a base right here in Manchester, Victory Outreach. But not just for Manchester, but for other places. Places like Liverpool, come on. Sheffield, right? Leeds. Places, other places like Newcastle, and also even other cities like Bristol. Huh? Even other countries like Scotland and Wales. That's why God wants to raise you up, because it's just not going to stop right here. But this vision and this revival is going to go across the whole England. It's going to go into other countries. Listen, don't look at me funny. Don't look at me like I'm just trying to pump you up. Believe me, I see it happen in South Africa. I believe God has given us the whole country. And one day, we're going to be in other parts of Africa. We're going to go to Kenya. We're going to go to Ghana. We're going to go to different countries all over Africa. But it's just not in Africa. God wants to do it right here in Europe too. There is more cities to take. There are more countries to take. And guess who God wants to use? He wants to use you. He wants to raise you up. He wants to make you a disciple. He wants to use your life to be able to do these things. See, this was Paul's strategy. This was God's strategy. He would go in and win the people to the Lord, and then people would catch that same passion, that same zeal to take their areas for God. See, because notice in verses 20, the Bible says when Paul was down and he was on the ground, they threw him outside the city, left him for dead. The Bible says, after the disciples gathered around him, then he got up. People begin to catch that same vision Paul had and say, wait a minute, man, this ain't Paul's vision. Come on, this isn't the apostle. This is my vision too. I want what he got. So I want that same passion. I want to take my area for the Lord. Now, again, doesn't mean you're going to go to these places I'm talking about. It just may mean that God wants you to stay faithful in church and raise your family in the church. God wants you to do something great within your areas of whatever it is that you're doing. But whatever it is, my challenge to you, church, this morning is to get around your pastor, to get around your leadership, to get around the people that God is using right now and say, I want to be part of that too. I want God to use my life. Got around him. They said, "Man, I want that same passion. I want that same zeal. I want to raise up leaders." God says, "I want to raise up more people that have that same zeal and that same passion to do what Paul was doing." Jesus himself, he knew he had disciples. He imparted into men and to women. I mean, he was so far to say it like this: that unless you forsake your mother and your father and your brother for my sake, you cannot even be my disciple. Now, that's even the disciples after that said, man, that's a tough teaching. Jesus wasn't saying to forget your family. What he was saying is that you got to go after my will more than anything else. Because my will is perfect. I'm going to take care of everything else that you need. Even before he went to ascended into heaven, he told the disciples to go ye to go ye and make disciples in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the world. It's just not going to stop here, guys. Some of you are going to find yourself in other countries. Some of you guys are going to have to learn a language. Come on. Some of you are going to walk streets that you can't even pronounce. Because God is going to use your life to do it. That's what God wants to do. That's what He wants to build the base here. That's why we do what we do. Because God wants to reach this world for Christ. If that means this morning God's challenging you to do something, I pray that you would respond to it as you stand on your feet with me. If you can't stand to your feet. Listen, there's nothing better than God's perfect will for your life. There's nothing better than it. And if you were to just accept it and say, God, here it is. I want your perfect will, regardless of what I go through. You would realize that there's nothing more peaceful than God's presence and God's will for your life. I'm going to end with this. See, Jesus always challenged people. He would go and he would preach the gospel. And then he would say, come and follow me. He went to Peter, he went to John, he went to all his disciples. He went to where they were at, if they were fishing, if they were tax collectors, if they were even on the streets prostituting women. There were a lot of different things that they were doing at that time. And he would go to where they're at and he would say, okay, he would tell them something or heal them or do something. And then he would say, come and follow me. There was one man. In fact, it was a young man. In fact, he was a rich man. And he had power. He was a ruler. Jesus asked him, he says, you know, how do I inherit eternal life? And he says, well, you know, you obey the commandments. He says, I do all that. I do it. He says, okay. He goes, go sell all your possessions and then come follow me. The Bible says this man looked at him and said, I can't do that. Then this is what he says. The Bible says this young rich ruler walked away sad. Now that kind of struck me a little bit, because I began to think this guy had youth, the rest of his life ahead of him. He had riches, all the money he probably thought he could ever have. And he had authority. He was a ruler. He knew what it is to have people underneath him. He had everything that this world said, if you have, you'll be happy. But the Bible says he walked away sad. And I realized something. You know why he walked away sad? Because there's nothing better than God's perfect will for your life. If you want God's perfect will, I want you to lift up your hands this morning. You say, God, I want your will for my life. I want to accomplish the mission and the task that you've given me. Whatever that may be, God. Whatever that may be, Jesus. I want it. If that means that you want me to build a connect group, if that means you want me to build a gang, if that means you want me to build the worship, if that means you want me to take a city, if that means you want me to raise my family, whatever it means, God, God, here I am. God, use my life. Come on, lift up your hands all over this place. Some of you, God's gonna tap on your shoulder right now. He's gonna tap on your shoulder and say, I want to use you. I want to use your life.